Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
Welcome to today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm so glad you've joined us for the program today. I'm Roger Marsh, and what we're about to hear is the conclusion of a two-part conversation on the topic of the book, The Path Out of Loneliness, by Dr. Mark Mayfield. Our co-host, Dr. Tim Clinton, interviewed Mark Mayfield recently, and their discussion was covered in grace and absolutely inspired. By the way, if you missed yesterday's broadcast, which contained the first half of their conversation, just go to drjamesdobson.org/broadcast, and you can listen to it online. Dr. Mark Mayfield is a former pastor, a licensed professional counselor, a board-certified counselor, and founder and CEO of Mayfield Counseling Centers. He has more than 14 years of professional counseling experience, treating anxiety, depression, and PTSD, as well as substance abuse, domestic violence, self-injury, and suicide. He is passionate about the integration of faith and mental health, and especially equipping pastors and leaders to be frontline mental and emotional health caregivers. He lives with his family in the Colorado Springs area, which is where the Dobson Family Institute is located. So let's go now to the conclusion of Dr. Tim Clinton's conversation with Dr. Mark Mayfield on the topic of Mark's book, The Path Out of Loneliness, here on Family Talk.
Mark, so great to have you back here on Family Talk. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Mark, we began our discussion yesterday dialing in on your new book, The Path Out of Loneliness, and finding and fostering connection to God, ourselves, and to one another. The thing that probably sobered me, caught my attention most, Mark, was just really thinking about how many people battle with loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
From maybe being up in years to our kids. Mark, mm-hmm. You're a research buff. I found that interesting. It's part of what you love to do. But Mark, what do you think sobered you the most? What caught your attention that said, you know what, this is really a big issue? And I know you talk about your own personal journey. Maybe you could weave that in as we get started today. But just reminding us about how big of an issue this is in modern day life.
Well, I was baffled by the stat that, and it was just a small survey, you know, a couple thousand people, but 36% of those surveyed didn't have anybody to turn to. You know, and that's least, whether we argue that that's reality or that was their perception, doesn't matter. They felt like they had no one to turn to. 36%. Now, extrapolate that, generalize that to the population of the world, that's millions upon millions upon millions of people that feel like they have nobody to turn to. That's what broke my heart.
You know, I've spent some time educating pastors mm-hmm. as they pursue their graduate level education, Mark. And one of the things that really caught my attention through the years is how lonely it is to be a leader. And in mm-hmm. Christian leadership, a mm-hmm. lot of pastors are very alone. They feel like they don't have anyone to talk to, that if they do talk to someone, they're going to get killed, you know?
Right.
And I think it's an epidemic at the ministry level.
Oh, it is. I think it's 7,000 churches close their doors every month in the United States. 1,500 pastors walk away from the pulpit. And I think it's the perception that they have nobody to turn to. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about working with churches. And I know you are too, of how do we provide them with resources to go, and you're not alone. You know, and even if it is finding a counselor, it's in a city over, a Christian counselor, so there's some anonymity there, but you have somebody to talk to. And I think the lie that Satan continues to perpetuate, especially for our pastors, is that they have no one to turn to, and that they, the term lonely at the top, it's a big deal. And it's something that we need to be paying attention to.
In a lot of ways, Mark, I guess you could say hell loves to get us alone. He mm-hmm. loves to get us to a place where we feel like there's no one there for us, that God's not even there for us. And
right.
That's a very dark place to be. A lot of our kids are there, Mark. Our kids are battling like never before. We mentioned yesterday that Surgeon General report that just came out saying we've got a, quote, tsunami disaster on our hand right now. And the coming effects of it, Mark, are very they're scary. They're beyond challenging. This is horrifying.
Yeah. I'm glad that he said that. I think we need to be paying attention. Something needs to really shake us up. But I think we also need to pay attention to the generation, this generation that has lost a lot of things. I mean, if you think about it, they're on their third year of school with regulations, with restrictions, with, you know, things that may or may not happen. You know, we're coming into the spring, you know, maybe they just finished homecoming. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they're going to have prom coming up. Maybe they're not. You know, are we going to have graduation in person? A lot of those things are just kind of hanging out in the back of our heads. And these kids don't know what to do with it. And even if we did have it, would they want to go anymore? You know, because I think there's a lot of, you know, I lost it. I didn't have it. Nothing to look forward to. What's the point?
You know, we were together at the World Conference for the American Association of Christian Counselors in September in Orlando, and I was shocked at how many people showed up. And Mark, you know how happy people were just to see one another, just to say hello. We're dying for connection. And the scary thing for me, I think, in this whole COVID issue is it's like all these variants that are continuing, and people are saying, you know what, you better just get used to it. And people are still filled with fear, and they don't know how to adjust. And so this loneliness piece that's so wired into modern-day culture, you're wondering, are we going to win this battle here, Mark? Mm-hmm. How are we going to win this battle?
I think the big piece is intentionality. You know, and so some of the steps that I talk about and how do we begin the process of walking out of this is we have to start with ourselves. But I think even before that, we have to understand God's intent and God's heart. You know, I like reading through Genesis. You know, we know just if we've gone to church for our, you know, that's the passage where sin enters the world. Adam and Eve took of the fruit, and now we have sin. God's walking through the garden going, hey, where are you guys? Not geographically challenged. He knew where they were, but there's that separation now, that disengagement relationally. But I like looking at that, and obviously through my researcher brain, that's when loneliness and separation entered into this world. Different term for sin, but loneliness, separation. But if you look at it, I started digging through Hebrew and Greek, the Septuagint and this, the Hebrew text, to find a word for relationship. Because I thought, okay, the antithesis of loneliness is relationship. Well, actually, the antithesis of loneliness is redemption. And we see that in the Hebrew, that the word ga'al, or, you know, lutru of the Greek, really means to redeem, to pay ransom, to buy back. This is where I want people to understand that the moment that loneliness and separation entered into the world, God already had a plan for redemption. And relationship comes out of that word by proxy. And so I think it's so beautiful to see that he was beginning the redemptive work of buying us back, of redeeming us from what was lost. We've got to take a look and go, okay, how do I see God? How do I see God in all of this? Is he this big, mean person that's, you know, doing these things to me? Or is he this loving God that has relentlessly pursued me from the beginning, and he's still continuing to pursue me? And we need to let that sit with us, spend time with what that really means, because I think that changes something in us to go, okay, I'm not a victim of loneliness. I am a survivor within loneliness, and what do I need to do to begin to walk out of it? And I think there's that big mindset shift that we need to have. And now I'm walking out of loneliness with God, and he's refining me, and I'm going to be vulnerable going, you know, yeah, I've got these choices I've made in my life have had some consequences. I need to redo some things. No judge, no shame, right? But I think that's the biggest part. We want to go out and help others. You know, we're counselors, right? We want to go out and help others first. And I think sometimes we don't take the time to go, okay, how should I help myself first?
Yeah. Mark, you run the Mayfield Counseling Centers, Saul, where you guys do thousands and thousands of counseling sessions every year. You're seeing a lot of people for a lot of issues. But at the core of it, most people really struggle with who am I? How do I fit in? Yep. How's this all working? Does God really love me? Is he even there for me? Mark, where do you start for a person who's been living in darkness for a long time? And they feel very disconnected. They're not even sure God is there. They want to believe that he's good. They want to believe that he sees them, that he knows the number of hairs on their head and all this kind of scripture.
Sure.
But Mark, they don't feel him. They're like Thomas. I got to see the nail prints in your hand. You got to reveal yourself. You got to show yourself to me. Because I feel really disconnected.
Well, I think first, if we've done the work in our own lives and we're ready to spend time with people and helping them out of loneliness, we don't need to have a timeline. And I think that's, especially in our American culture, we want to go, okay, what's step one? What's step two? What's step three? You know, how long should I be on step one? How long should I be on step two?
Sure.
It's not that simple. I think the big piece is if we've got people in our lives that are asking those questions, that are struggling, the best thing we can offer them is our undivided, non-judgmental presence, just to be with them. I don't know who said this, but a lot of times the only Jesus people are going to know, the Jesus that's in us, and if that leads them to the understanding of who God is, that's a great piece. But we need to be patient. We need to be have long-suffering and perseverance. You know, there's something so powerful in people's ability to tell their story. So as an individual that wants to engage that, ask questions, be curious, you know, and begin to just value the humanity of the person sitting across from you. And then once that is happening, you know, begin to ask questions around their identity, begin to speak into their identity, whose they are, right? I hate the question, who am I? Because I think, you know, we start going, well, I'm a CEO and I'm a, whose am I needs to be the question that we ask.
Mark, I was talking to Julie, it was this week, we were chatting, and she was just making a statement. She said, Tim, when I get away from the Word, you know, and I miss my quiet time, it's when I begin starting to spin in my own mind. And she said, there's something about being able to practice His presence every day, knowing that we've got an audience of one. And that's why God's given us His Word, you know that?
Yeah.
As we
yeah.
engage the Scriptures and they're illuminated by the Spirit of God, it bears witness with our spirit. That's what Paul right. said, that we are the children of God.
Yeah.
And that we're a friend of God. It's beautiful, Mark, when you can get to a place where you actually believe that you're loved by God and that you understand that He's your friend.
And it's not based off of the feeling of the day.
It's not about performance. There's nothing I can do.
Yeah. And there's peace in that, and there's hope in that. And I think from that, you know, I give three antitheses to loneliness. You know, identity is the first one. Whose am I? If we can answer that, wrestle with that, it inspires us to go, okay, what's my purpose? And our purpose actually has to flow out of our identity. It can't flow from anything else. And so whose am I will flow our purpose. And from that purpose, then hope happens. You know, when we begin to work on our identity, does the hope come before the purpose or the purpose come before the hope? But they almost hit simultaneously. When we know whose we are and we are rooted in whose we are, that's something that we have to do individually, but it's something that has to be done in community as well.
You're listening to Family Talk, a division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors, and your host here. We're talking today with Dr. Mark Mayfield, former pastor, licensed professional counselor, board-certified counselor, founder and CEO of the Mayfield Counseling Center. He's written a brand-new book, powerful book called The Path Out of Loneliness, Finding and Fostering Connection to God, Ourselves, and One Another. If you know someone who's really struggling on a journey, trying to make that connection, this is a gift. This is a real gift to us all. Mark, the importance of the church, and I'm going to use the word big C here, the church, yep. and the importance of one another. Our friend John Townsend wrote a book not long ago called People Fuel.
Yep.
That
Great
we
book.
Are important to each other. Mark, talk yeah. to us about when we unselfishly participate in the life of another person, what happens to us?
Science shows that our brain actually reaches its fullest potential when we're in a safe, trusting, and reciprocal, engaging relationship with somebody else. But I would even go as far as to our systems, our bodily systems, our cardiovascular system, our oxygenation system, our immune systems, all reach their peak performance when we are in a relationship that is safe and inviting with somebody else, but when we're also giving of ourselves to somebody else. I think the church in recent years has done somewhat of a disservice in that we haven't really engaged in understanding the holistic aspect of who and how God has created us from a mind, body, spirit perspective. And that's part of the reason I wrote the book the way I wrote the book, is we have to integrate those three. They can't be silos. And so the strength of our community, the strength of our connection directly correlates to the strength of our mental, emotional, and physical health. And we have to make sure, and this is why I say we have to take care of ourselves first and answer these hard questions first, because it's not, I'm going to sacrifice myself at the expense of somebody else. This is where I talk through the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. And the second is like it, which actually in the Greek means equal to, love your neighbor as yourself.
Love God, love people.
Yeah, and love ourselves. And if we don't do any of that well, we're suffering in other areas. Because I think you meet a lot of people. I've been that person. I'm going to fall on my sword to take care of somebody else, but I'm not going to take care of myself. And that's not the way it's meant to be. It's supposed to be equally reciprocal engagement.
There's something about feeling connected with someone else. There's something beautiful. Maybe that's why. And I saw some staggering research, like on men. Mm-hmm. When men go through a divorce and they never get back into a relationship, they take years literally off of their life.
Yep.
Mark, if you're in a home and you have no connection with someone, it just fades quick.
It does. Anybody that's listening that's kind of relating to this, I'm just going to encourage you to go, okay, ask the Lord, what is a small risk that I need to take to begin to put myself out there again to be able to connect with somebody? Is it showing up to the men's night if you're a divorced or single father at church? It might feel odd. It might feel weird, but at least to put yourself out there. Is it, you know, I've been burned by the church. We could all say that. Don't use that as an excuse. Go and find some place to be in community with somebody else. It's going to take work. I talk about this in the last chapter. I call it the messy embrace. It's not clean. It's not easy. But it's good. And we have to stay in there. We have to hang in there. We have to recognize that the people that we're trying to help or that we're trying to engage with are fallible human beings. We have to be wise with that, but we can't blame people for their shortcomings. If we're rooted, like you were saying earlier, we need to be rooted in Christ and whose we are before we go out and have expectations for others in connection. And so I think moving from victim to survivor to thriver is kind of my desire of to see people. We can all relate to being victims of loneliness, but let's look at this as a survivor mentality, and then let's move into thriving in the struggle and all. It's a process. Sanctification, if you want to call it that.
And maybe that's why Paul wrote those words, hey, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together.
Yeah.
Like some people do, but mm-hmm. rather come together and be a source of encouragement and love toward one another. Mark, it's inherently therapeutic. That's why maybe small groups become really powerful and important. Yeah. That's why picking up the phone and calling a friend and praying over something, sending a message and saying, you know what, I love you, and you're important to me. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why the Apostle Paul said, Timothy, listen, would you come and see me? Come before winter. Even the great Apostle Paul needed that connection, that relationship piece, Mark.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to break down here. Don't get lost in the pace and the pain and the pressure of everyday life that you lose everything around you. And the next thing you know, you wake up and it's like, where is everybody?
Mm-hmm.
What's happened?
Mm-hmm.
Mark, bring us home. You spent all that time in this research. You spent all this time writing this book, The Path Out of Loneliness. Give us those special, special nuggets. Tim, if there's one or two things that you need to remember out of our conversation coming out of this book, this is the thing that really wired up deep down inside of me. And it was like the aha, I got it. I get it, God, I get it.
I think if I were to say one thing, and this just has just come to me as we've been talking, is that we need to understand that the power of the triune God resides within us for redemption and for healing that has been gifted to us in our relationship with Christ. And so I think a lot of times we feel hopeless. I don't know what to do. It's like, no, your presence, the presence of the triune God resides within us. That is power enough to bring healing and to bring hope to others. And so when somebody says, I don't know what to do. Yeah, you do. Just be with people and be with people well, because that will begin the process of this path out of loneliness.
We're broken, Mark, in relationship. I believe we're healed in relationship. One
Amen.
Final piece here, Mark, I wanted to ask you, what if it's really dark? And I've been trying, and I'm stuck. A lot of fear, a lot of depression, anxiety, even maybe some bad thoughts in my mind. Mark, you've been doing counseling for a long time. Talk to us about the significance of reaching out maybe to a counselor, professional, yeah. someone to help me through that time.
Right. I mean, we've talked about this whole last two episodes. We can't do this. This life is not meant to be done alone. And if we're in those dark places, there's nothing shameful about asking for help. And I think that's a big risk. Take a risk. Step out of your comfort zone and call somebody for help. That might be scary. So find, you know, I know the AACC has a great list of Christian counselors. I know a lot of churches have, you know, partnered with Christian counseling, but find a good Christian counselor that you can just reality test with. And sometimes that might mean we're going to need to reevaluate, you know, and maybe we need to do medication. Don't be afraid of medication at this point. Make it maybe a stepping stone in the right direction so that you can get to a place where you're not feeling so dark that you can start doing the work. But there's God has designed and created so many great tools and resources through his creation, you know, to be able to help us with this. And so I think we need to definitely push past some of that stigma that if I do this, I'm weak, or if I'm on medication, then something's wrong with me. No, these are all tools to get us to a place of equilibrium so that we can begin to live our best life.
And Mark, since the pandemic has hit, I mean, counseling services are soaring. I mean, counseling practices are packed. It's amazing. Yeah. Today's generations are much more open to seeking out help. And by the way, they're finding help. There are a lot of godly, professional counselors out there now who can help minister and pour hope and help and encouragement and life into you. And it's just all about taking that first step, right, Mark? You got to do something. Somewhere you got to take some responsibility here. And when you do, I think the return that comes back is amazing. It's certainly fun to see what God's doing.
Absolutely.
Mark, congratulations again on your new book, The Path Out of Loneliness, Finding and Fostering Connection to God, Ourselves, and to One Another. I know here at Family Talk, we're so delighted and so grateful to have you come in and join us live, and it's been fun. I'd like to take a moment, Mark, if you wouldn't mind, and would you just pray today? Because I just believe in my heart there are some real people out there who they have some tears maybe coming down their face, or they're worried about a loved one who feels lost, Mark, and they need a fresh touch from God.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's pray. Almighty God, we just come before you and are grateful for this conversation, Lord. I thank you that you are a God that is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow, and you're not going to ever change. And so I pray that if there's somebody that's listening that is just lost, Lord, I pray that your redemptive hand would reach down into their lives and make them known to you today in a very tangible and a very beautiful way, Lord. I pray for those that are wanting to help those others in their lives, Lord. I pray that you'd give them the courage to step up and to say, hey, I know you're not doing okay, but I'm here, and I want to be with you, and I want to sit with you however long it takes. And so, Lord, I pray that whoever's listening throughout this country, Lord, that small little wildfires would begin as people are taking care of each other and they're being connected to you, Lord. There is a way to end the epidemic of loneliness, and you've given us the guidebook to that in your word. And so I pray that we would step up and we would step into others' lives to let them know whose they are and the identity that you've placed on them. Thank you that you never give up. Thank you that you continue to pursue us no matter what. And thank you that you've provided a way through the redemption of the cross for us to have hope. In your name, amen.
I was in a meeting not long ago with Dr. Dobson, and we were focused in on the challenges of the day, and he decided he'd stop the meeting. He just didn't like the way it was going. He said, we got to stop and we got to pray. Mark, he knelt, and I remember him saying these words, God, this seems dark. This seems evil. This seems overwhelming. And then he said these words, and they resonated in my spirit as you were praying. He said, accept God, that you are with us. You are with us. We claim that today. Hey, and if you're struggling right now, I want you to pick up the phone and call. Here's a toll-free number, 877-732-6825. That number again, toll-free, 877-732-6825. That's the James Dobson Family Institute. We have people available right now to talk with you, to pray with you, to encourage you. Also, if you'd like to find a counselor in your area, you can go up on our website, the American Association of Christian Counselors. It's aacc.net/connect. Find a counselor like Dr. Mark Mayfield. Mark, even when it seems all alone and there's no one there, he is with us. Thanks for reminding us of that. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Mark Mayfield. Such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Tim.
Well, that was the conclusion of Dr. Tim Clinton's two-part conversation with author and counselor Dr. Mark Mayfield here on Family Talk. That toll-free number, once again, 877-732-6825. And please know that we have staff waiting on the other side of the line, waiting to take your call, pray with you, suggest resources, and more. Again, 877-732-6825. And the web address for finding a Christian counselor in your area is connect.aacc.net. That's the word connect.aacc.net. Now, if you missed any of today's or yesterday's programs, go to drjamesdobson.org/broadcast and you can get caught up. That's drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. You can also find out more about Dr. Mayfield, his book, The Path Out of Loneliness, and Mayfield Counseling Centers while you're there. Well, we're out of time for today, but I hope you'll join us again tomorrow for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.